Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the program. My name is Mudtoe Sasquatch, and this is the Midnight Garden. I invite you to come and sit with me among the, well, I don't know, where should we sit tonight? Let's see, the radishes and the cucumbers. How about that? And we will talk of things great and grand and small and insignificant. And first, I'd like to give a shout out to Cousin JR. I don't know if he's listening, but I guess he's out on the East Coast amongst all of this snow and lousy weather that we're having. So cheers to him for going out there. This is for his work, and he is out there, I'm sure, dutifully doing his thing, and good job to him for being out there, and be safe, and come home safely. Boy, that's just that was not a well planned message at all. I just think JR, all the best to you, don't know if he would have the opportunity to do so. And this is going to be a particularly bleary-eyed, bleary-mouthed show, I think. Didn't get my nap this afternoon, so midnight comes kind of late for this almost 53-year-old guy. So please do bear with me. I do want to do my part and be here and at least have something to say to justify all of this. It is, after all, the very first show of the new year. We need to be looking ahead, forward thinking, and that's what I'd said I wanted this show to be, about forward thinking and not about looking back. But sometimes you do have to look back to look forward, so I might just allow myself the indulgence a bit. I know there are a couple of milestones to hit. I have been living, for example, I've been living in my large city in the Midwest for 10 years now. And probably not where I would have seen myself, where I am now. I probably wouldn't have seen myself in this spot 10 years ago. But I have a roof over my head, and I have the means to go where I will for as long as the supply of gasoline holds up. So I'm not going to spend the time to do the poor pitiful me thing, at least not tonight. I'll probably slip into it before the end, though, if I'm completely honest with myself. Oh, I don't know. What do you say about the new year? I've seen so many of them. Not as many as some people, but I've watched them. I've watched them come and go. I've watched the tides of time roll in and roll out. And what does it all mean? It's a point on the calendar where we sort of one more trip around the sun. Someone at some point pick this day as the day that the calendar turns over, and that's really the only reason we use this day to reflect and then to look forward at what we might do during the next trip around the sun. There's no magical significance to the day itself, but I think it's good to reflect, I guess. Of course, for a show of this significance, I've done very little reflection or even preparation, as it turns out. What shall I say to you? This is going to be a long show, I can tell already. Last year, the show I did was I'd had some recordings of drum circles done by Chief Iggy and others in our tribe. So I had taken some of those recordings and listen to them, and I give in each sort of segment a name. You know, it's like you do on a record album. Each cut has a, you know, like an instrumental. The title isn't always obvious. I mean, a song with a lyric, you know, the title usually comes, you know, from the lyric somewhere. But if it's just if it's an instrumental without somebody singing, not always completely obvious what it should be called. Particularly if you didn't write it, as indeed I did not. So, but I just waited for, you know, I listened to the piece and wait for you for inspiration to hit me, and it did. And the case was like 8 or 9 slices of drum music, so it was an extra long show. I think I did 1.5 hours that night, and probably created some confusion because I would turn you. I'd play this as I played the song. I'd turn my microphone off, and at least once, probably more than once, I forgot to turn it back on as I did the little announcement between the songs. So I'm sure anyone who was out there might have been just a bit thrown by that. But it was fun to do it, and I guess sort of promised that I would do more stuff like that, and I don't think I did. I think the only thing that came close was I had laryngitis and really couldn't do the show, so I'd taken an old show from the archives, and I was going to introduce it, you know, as best I could. If you have a couple minutes introduction, a couple minutes talk about it at the end, because it ended up touching some issues I didn't remember that it had. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I only listened to the first few minutes and said, okay, look at those. That could be an interesting show to put back. And then it's actually those things. I said, oh, I can't remember. I hadn't remembered that I talked about that. But then the whole, I did that, but then at the end of it, realized my microphone had been off the whole time, so the only thing anybody had heard was the original recording, and they only heard that if they had had the patience to wait through the 2 minutes of opening silence. So I do, I have fun ideas, but at the same time, my own sort of clumsiness and lack of focus gets in the way, and I think, I don't know. I don't want to say I was going to say that may be the reason I don't do them very often, but I can't honestly say I've really thought about it. I mean, that's part of who I am. You know, head in the clouds a lot of the time, and I do find increasingly a sort of a lack of focus that bothers me. That I think is problematic in my finding, you know, gainful employment again. I'm going to have to focus. I'm going to have to be on top of it. First of all, I'll go back. I had that interview a few weeks ago, and it looks like nothing's going to come of that. I've been, you know, again, struggling very much with the internet-based job applications. But even more than that, I mean, that's sort of something I expect. The job boards have become much less useful to me. I remember them being in the past. I didn't really use the job boards that much for a while. I go back to them, and now I'm finding you find something that looks, you know, interesting or applicable, and I click on it. And it takes me to something that's completely different. It takes me to an ad, you know, I'd probably pay something somebody paid for. And it's very frustrating. And I feel the need, I feel the absence of my, you know, case manager that I'd had up until about this time last year. So it's coming up to about a year without the case manager and someone to sort of, you know, run interference for me on some of these things and keep me, you know, pointed in a direction. I miss that, and I don't know, you know, don't have the idea that the first idea as to where I might be able to find that again. Again, I've talked about going to the benefits bank, which is a place where they I guess as advertised, places where they can help you with things like that, anywhere point you towards where state and federal benefits might be found and how you could get them. And again, it's not something I have a whole lot of shame about. I have to say, I have to admit, some shame is creeping in because it's been 4.5 years, and I have had 1, 2, 3 full-time jobs in that period of time that I walked away from because I became frustrated with them or decided I couldn't do them. Actually, it was one of them walked away from me. The other two, I walked away from them. And so there's some guilt involved there. I said, well, you should have kept that job. Well, yeah, maybe I should have kept that job, but I think I would be a whole lot less sane at this point if I have. But it just, it makes it, you know, my bold statement has always been, you know, I've never felt bad about taking, you know, or seeking government benefits because, you know, I paid into the system for many, many years. And I did pay into the system for many, many years, but it's now been quite a long time out of the system. And I feel like I'm in danger of just becoming one of those people who just lives on the benefits and doesn't really try. And I don't want to be that person. I want to, you know, there's 14 years left until I can get on Social Security, and that's a long time to be a leech, if we want to put it in those terms. I don't feel like a leech, and I don't want to be a leech, but at the same time, I'm in a situation where I do still need help. I have reapplied, for example. I have reapplied for my Obama phone. I had one a few years back. You know, it's handy for all the more that I use a phone. It seems like a lot. You have to put a lot of money into a cell phone for all the more that I use it. And so you can, I'm sure you're familiar with it. You get a kind of a crappy little cell phone, and I put a few minutes on it for you. So the idea is to give you the means to seek and follow up on job opportunities, which is certainly what I would mostly be using it for. I don't use the phone for much else. But I found out in this sort of new round, because as I say, I had one up until I had a job, a full-time job for several months in 2016, and I no longer qualified for it, so I haven't had one since then. I've reapplied, and I found that they don't use. I had a flip phone before, and they don't support the flip phones anymore. They're sending me one. I'm sure is a pretty low rent smartphone, but I've never had a smartphone before, so I find myself getting a little bit excited about it. And I was hoping it would come. I directed it. I'm at my parents' this weekend, and I had directed that it be sent to this address. First of all, because I don't like the idea of it lying around outside of, you know, my apartment in the neighborhood where I live. And second, that I could, you know, have it here, knowing I was going to be here for this week, and start using it immediately. And actually, I'm going to my. Going to my daughter's place tomorrow, along with my brother. My brother and I are driving up there. I guess we're exchanging some parts of a Christmas present that ended up not being the correct ones, and taking the correct ones and picking up the incorrect ones. And of course, my granddaughter will be there. So I figured, if I had the phone, my granddaughter could show me how to use it. Because I'm quite sure she's going to be better at it than I am, but won't have that opportunity. But I'm sure somewhere in my neighborhood back home, I'll be able to find a toddler who can show me how to use a smartphone. And I guess as I say, I'm actually quite excited about it to sort of step in that world that I have really. I was going to say I've been actively avoiding it, but I don't think I have. I just haven't had them. I haven't had the financial means to step up. You know, I've always had to use the, what would you call them, the dumb phones, the not smartphones.
And then here, of course, lately I've been using the minute phones, as they call them. You get the card with the minutes on it, and load them up, and find, you know, always looking for the time when they're given the bonus minutes so you can get more. Since I haven't been, for a while I was doing my show on the cell phone, and that was a major drain on my minutes. So since I haven't been doing that, I find that I can very easily live on the government's allotment of minutes. I believe it's 350, and then there's also a gig of activity on the internet included with it, which I'm presuming isn't a whole lot. But then I'm not going to be streaming anything or anything like that. It'd be good for me just to be able to check my email from home. This is what the purpose of the phone is. I can check my resources to see what activity has been out there on the job front, and I think I'm looking forward to being able to do that. I gave up internet in my home not too long ago. I keenly feel the loss of that, and I don't know if it's can also that there's just the email thing. I do some Facebooking, not a lot, but I keep up a Midnight Garden page there. That might be something I'd be able to do again. I don't know how the memory restrictions will work with that. I'd say it'll be the email first, and probably the Facebook second, and then I have to do some interneting stuff to set up the show. I'm thinking that might be something. I will have to call Iggy and find out what the password is, because I programmed it into my computer years ago, really, and I have no idea what it is now. It just shows up as little stars. I don't know. Have no idea what the password is. Speaking of passwords, nice transition there. I needed to get in touch with the student loan people. Sort of end of the year, beginning of the year kind of things. You have to, every once a year, I have to reapply for my deferment since I don't really have an income. This was nice of them to not expect me to pay them when I don't have any money. But you got to get on the website, and once a year I get on this website, and of course I can't remember the passwords I gave, and it took a little while because I actually have three passwords. This is the FAFSA website, the kind of combine that with the student loans and that dreaded form you used to fill out when you were in college, FAFSA. And they had most websites have a username and a password. This one has a username, a password, and a PIN. So there's three things to remember. And you need to update your password, because it's been a year. So I go to do that, but instead of updating the password, it updated the username, and I just couldn't figure out what it was doing to me and why. So it took some time before I was finally able to sort it out. And I was in the middle of the library in Hilltop, a little community near my home, and trying to sort of contain this sort of alternating frustration and glee. The frustration when things are going bad and the glee when you seem to be making progress. Finally, I got through all of it, and it gave me my little confirmation number, like doing a happy dance in the middle of the library. The fun thing was nobody really seemed to take any note of it. A lot of odd things sort of happened in the library. It's a place for people of little means to take sanctuary, particularly if they are homeless, and particularly if it's very cold outside. So I don't think my little happy dance phased them at all, really. That's fine. I guess I'm getting more used to that. And finally, I just spend more time in the library now. As I say, no internet at the house. I got to go to the library and use it. But when I was a boy, when I was a young lad, you had to be quiet when you were in the library. Today, not so much. Particularly, as I say, because they have sort of people from all walks of life crowding in there. And then also kids who seem to be dropped off by their parents and just left there. Kids, I think the number that they told me was as low as 9 years old can be in the library unsupervised. And they said it used to be six. it would be kind of odd to be in that sort of babysitter situation. And I think and there are probably some of the librarians who handle it very well. And I think there are other of the librarians, sort of the more bookish librarians, if you will, the ones that are more focused on the more traditional roles of the library, who might not be quite so good with the kids, if you want to think of it that way. I still think very much about working at the library, and they have a website which I check pretty often. Seems like most of the stuff they hire, if you're not, full-time stuff, they want you to have a degree in library science. Part-time stuff seems to be far away from where I live. And is it worth it? Am I going to be spending more, getting there and back than I get out of this, part-time, $9.50 an hour job? So, but I keep looking, something better to come off. Maybe it becomes one of those, comes a little bit closer to me, and I can use that as a foot in the door kind of thing. I feel like I would like working in the library, and that's something I think that's what it's going to have to be. And people have never actually said this. I guess I presume they're probably thinking it. But I think it's going to have to be something I like before it's going to stick. Before I'm going to take the trouble to stay. It's going to have to be something I like. And the sort of response to that would be, how can you justify waiting for something that you like? You're impoverished. You're depending on your parents for things. If something were to happen to them, or something were to happen to their income very suddenly, you would be in a bad way instantly. This is me talking about me. All of these things are true. It's just as a thinking, intelligent person, it's hard for me to just put aside. Okay, I'm just going to turn off my emotions. I'm going to go do this thing that I don't like. I'm surrounded by people I don't like, and I don't know what's the goal. I don't understand the goal. I don't understand what it is we're trying to do this, or why we're doing it in this way. That's the big thing that came up a lot in this FedEx job I just had. I couldn't. It was hard for me to reconcile in my head why things were set up the way they were. Didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I mean, of course, I'm aware that I don't have access to that sort of perspective. The people who put this stuff together, but it's difficult for me. I may have told this story on the show before. They had a meeting to explain that we had a big new customer that's going to be coming online. And so all of us who did the scanning, that's what I did at FedEx, I scanned in computer parts that came in from other days ago. Come in, I'd scan it, and I'd put it in another box and send it someplace else. So all of us who did that, and we were standing around, the powers that be were explaining this new thing that's going to be happening. And I found myself sort of gravitating to the office people who had come out to talk to us. I wanted to be with them. I felt these are my people, and I felt myself disappointed that they didn't recognize me They didn't pick me out of the crowd and say, no, you come back with us. You know, just another functionary to them, and that upset me. It really upset me more than, it upset me to a degree that it surprised me, so it was. And just dealing with the feeling that, is this me? Is this something I do for the next 14 years? And maybe beyond. I mean, who knows? Social Security will even be enough. I think it's odd for someone of my generation to be thinking in those terms, because I remember when I was a younger person, we would always joke, you'd see how much Social Security was taken out of your check, and you'd always joke about how, is Social Security even going to be there, when I get there? And now I am, it seemed like the journey from that point to retirement to Social Security seemed like an endless one at the time, and that end point seemed like something I didn't have to worry about. Well, it's a lot closer now, and it is something I have to. I mean, but it's become a goal. It's become a target for me now. That there's income that's out there, but I have to wait until I get there, and I have to. I mean, there's a small pension I have from a previous job I had, but waiting for that too. And I feel like everything I'm doing right now is filling in the space between now and then. And I really feel that it should be more than that. That I've missed so many opportunities in my life. I've squandered so much in my life that I really need to be making it. I need to be working hard to make sure there's some sort of meaning, some sort of cause being supported in this sort of last lap to before I write it in. It's okay. This is a life done. I'll just find myself a nice retirement home. Not a nice one. I certainly won't be able to afford a nice one. So I don't think, is this sliding? Is this starting to slide into poor, poor, pitiful me? Am I discussing realities? Because the thing is, if people say, are you cynical or are you just realistic? I think of myself as realistic. I'm also scared shitless of new things. So, and being aging, so what to do? Look ahead, march on, I guess. And through all of that, I've managed to take up all of my time today. Maybe I think this is a good topic, maybe to continue on. I'll give it some more thought. About what's happening, when it's stretching out from now until the end, which must inevitably come. What do I see? Where do I see my? What am I doing? What is my purpose? Very weighty topics for this internet radio show, but hey, I'll take them on. What the hell? Okay, thank you for listening this evening, and have a pleasant good evening.